Father, we got to make it one day at a time. We got to make it through our individual circumstances,
and crisis, and tribulations, and challenges, opportunities that come along each day. So, Heavenly Father, we're most grateful for this scripture that beckons us, tells us how to do this. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's open the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Okay. We have been studying various encumbrances, and so we're going to move on from that point here. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us," if you read chapter 11, verses 4 and following, you have the great cloud of witnesses, men and women who walk by faith. Doesn't mean they did not sin. Doesn't mean those kind of things. It simply means that these people were living their life in the various battles that they were confronted with, and they lived it by faith. So this is a great cloud of witnesses that we have before us. Then it says, "Let us also." Also means they live by faith. Let us also live by faith. Let us also, in our time, reflect the glory of God by trusting Him. Lay aside every encumbrance. And that's what we're in the midst of looking at right now, but let's just finish the verse. And the sin which so easily entangles us. Now, we'll come to that. You'll note it's in the singular. And we all have a sin, and a sin pattern, or a sin challenge. Now, some have a whole bunch of sins, but we all have a sin challenge. The sin that so easily, I love that, easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But let's go back to our statement. Lay aside every encumbrance, aorist middle participle. And by using this word, the Holy Spirit, by using this word, lay aside every encumbrance, we learn a great deal about the baggage that we've been studying the last several Sundays. We learn a great deal about it. This word means to put off, take off, as you would a garment. And you watch runners, they take off their warm-up clothes. So take off, put off, lay aside. Rid oneself of something. Put away. Notice an important concept. Off. Away from you. Get it out of your soul is the point. Get it out of your life. Now let's note a few things. First, we're going to do several things. First, the action of the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. What's the main verb? The main verb is in verse 2, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the one we are to imitate. And before you can fix your eyes upon Jesus, you have to lay aside every encumbrance. Now, it's a rather human not simple or wrong, but a rather human analogy. But a man meets a woman, and he said, boy, this is really maybe the one that God sent. But he does not stop dating the four other women. And so it's going to be very difficult to get his eyes fixed on that one, because he's got the others in there. And that's the idea. You can't fix your eyes on the Lord if they're fixed on other things. And here they're fixed on the encumbrances, fixed on the baggage that you've got to put off. So first, the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb. We've got to lay aside every encumbrance before we can fix our eyes on Jesus. Secondly, the aorist tense has no time in it. There's no time known in the aorist tense. The aorist tense just looks at the action as done. Now, this may take some time to lay aside some of this baggage. But once you do, then you are ready to know how to cry, to love as Christ loved. You know how he loves you. You'll be able to fix your eyes on Christ. So the loving as Christ loves is going to be very important in our next study this morning. Now, the third thing. The aorist participle tells us two things. One, this baggage must be laid off. It must be laid off. Two, laying off of this baggage can be done. It must be done. It can be done. This is not an exhortation that cannot be completed. And the aorist participle tells us that it must be done and it can be done. But people, it cannot be done in the flesh. This can only be done by faith in the Holy Spirit. The whole subject matter of Hebrews 11. It can only be done by faith, not in the energy of the flesh. This is not some AA meeting. I'm not downgrading AA. But this is not some AA meeting where you're going to get up and it's going to be this process. I'm an alcoholic, which is fine. They've got to acknowledge it because that's the first thing that has to happen. And if you've ever associated with an alcoholic, it's the first thing. Most of them are in denial. I don't have a problem. Well, you're drunk all the time. Well, I have not a problem. I can stop anytime I want. I just don't want to. And it's not that kind of a deal where you do this in the energy of the flesh. I'm very happy. I'm very happy for anyone and everyone that breaks an addiction. But it doesn't glorify God. Just because you stop your addiction in the energy of the flesh, it's not going to glorify God one bit. But what we want to do this in a manner that's glorifying to God. To lay aside this baggage in such a way that glorifies God must be accomplished under His provided power. That is the Holy Spirit. One of the most wonderful things God did. And Jesus, when he went to heaven, went topside. First thing he did when he sat down next to God the Father at the throne of God, he said, you can't believe how pitiful those human beings are. They are unbelievably pitiful. And what he did, he said, you can't believe how fickle believers are. I mean, Peter just flat denied me, Father. Oh, no, he didn't do that. He said, Father, give them the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit you gave me. And the Father said, done. Done deal. So he has provided the Holy Spirit to enable us, among a multitude of things, to lay aside this baggage. Now, since God knows that there are baggage, hindrances to running well the spiritual race, to be able to love as Christ loved, God gives us this insight to running the race, to lay aside, put off of us, out of from our souls, this baggage that prevents us from running the race. To run the race, to love as Jesus Christ loves, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we must lay aside this baggage. And just This just may take some time. It may not for some. It may take some time for others. If all this happened automatically at the point of the filling of the Spirit, we would not need this mandate to lay aside every encumbrance. But it doesn't happen automatically when you're filled with the Spirit. This is a process. It has to be done. Spiritual love includes you first making a decision of faith to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, to listen to Him in making decisions in your life, starting with the decision to lay aside every encumbrance, to lay it aside. Go back to that earthly example. Man's dating several women, ladies. He meets this one lady, and what does he have to do? I can't be seeing you anymore. I can't be seeing you anymore. And I can't see you anymore, maybe every now and then. And this type of thing. He can't do it. He's got to lay it all aside. He's going to focus on one. Got to lay aside all of these encumbrances. So he'd make a decision to lay aside the encumbrances that are in the soul. The Greek word refers to something that must be done, but not on how it is to be done. It just says this must be done, doesn't tell us how to do it. It means to lay aside any burden, any weight, anything that would prevent you from running the race, from fixing your eyes on Jesus, from loving as Jesus Christ loves, to prepare for action, to prepare for the race. We're all in a race. And you get my age, it's more difficult to run. And it gets more difficult to walk, but it gets definitely more difficult to take off running. But we have to be prepared for spiritual action in the warfare. Now, taking something off, and what are we taking off? Anything that impedes action. And again, I go back to the runner. We all understand it. He's got to take off. Let's say one runner has been working out, warming up with weights around his ankle, those ankle weights. Some of them do that. And take those off. They're going to impede your running. Takes off his warm-ups. They impede his running. Take off anything that would impede your running. So the action of, and the action here that we want to get involved, running the race. Learning doctrine. Applying doctrine. Loving as Christ loved. Fixing your eyes on Christ. Living a Christ-centered life. All of these things must be accomplished, and it cannot be accomplished until we lay aside. Sometimes it is difficult task to lay aside these mental attitude baggage that we've been studying that are destructive to love as well as to life. Too often today, people do not even know why they are discouraged or disillusioned, which we studied and noted last week. Why they fear love. Why they fear life. You have to go into the soul. So let's note some things. One, point one, laying aside baggage that encumbers spiritual love, encumbers running the race, begins with recognizing. Recognizing exactly what this baggage is. Realize that you have this baggage in your soul, in your life. People, this is what 1 John 1:9 is all about. 1 John 1:9 has a beautiful place. It is not spirituality, but it has a beautiful place in our Christian lives. And in case you forgot it, let's just look at 1 John 1:9 a moment. It's not that far away from where we are. 1 John 1:9. And like I told you, the problem in 1 John 1:9 is 1:8. The real problem is chapter 1, verse 8. And verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So verse 8 is the real issue. And if you're going to lay aside any encumbrance, you've got to acknowledge it. You can't deny it. Well, by discouragement, disillusionment, boredom, all these things that we studied, all these sins and things that go on in our soul. If you're in denial, you're never going to lay them aside. You're not going to lay them aside. So what do I do if I'm deceiving myself and deny it? And he says, this wonderful shepherd who cares about these people, verse 9, if we acknowledge our sins, acknowledge them. Just acknowledge. It doesn't say to God. It doesn't say to others. It doesn't say to a priest. Just acknowledge them. Admit it. I got this problem. That's why in AA and these kind of organizations, they have you stand up. And you go, I am an alcoholic. And people are going, ooh, 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 all this kind of stuff. But it's necessary. It is a necessary step, especially for that person that's been in denial. I don't really have a drinking problem. I don't really have it. Maybe every weekend I might, but not all the time. See? They're in denial. And if you're denied baggage in your soul, and you refuse to acknowledge that it is baggage, you're not going to get rid of it. So point one says, this begins with recognizing exactly the baggage that's holding you back. And 1-9 becomes so valuable. And we're going to come to it later in a moment, but I want to just start finishing now since we're looking at 1-9. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't worry about it. One thing that's bad and difficult to acknowledge something is that I'm weak. I have an alcoholic problem. You don't want to do that if you're a macho, self-centered person. I don't really have this problem. And then I don't have to deal with it. See, parents, our children don't have any problem. If they keep saying that, they don't have to deal with it. The moment you say our child has a problem, you have to deal with it. So it's best just deny it. Our marriage is fine. You're in denial. The marriage is not fine. But as long as you can convince yourself it's fine, you don't have to deal with it. The moment you say, hey, there's a problem in our marriage, you have to deal with it. You have to deal with it. Now, let me tell you, I am filled with the Spirit. I know that right now. And I don't know why I'm going to share this, but I love Rodney Dangerfield. He said he told his wife that the children were spoiled, and she told him all children smell that way. And it's one of those type of things that we've got to be able to acknowledge. Don't deny. But people, we want to deny it. If I confess this, if I acknowledge this, I'm saying I'm weak. I have a real problem here, and we don't want to do that. We don't want to admit we have a real problem. But you're never going to get it straightened until you do. So if Paul says, man up, acknowledge you have a problem. But you see, people, in the spiritual realm, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. Why? Look what he says. He, God, is faithful and righteous, not faithful to you, faithful to the cross, faithful to his Son. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And the Greek says, having already forgiven, having already cleansed. People, it's no surprise to him. Don't think he's going to be shocked if you admit you have some of these baggage in your soul that we went through the last few weeks. He already knows it. He's not going, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Then you've got to be careful talking to human beings. They'll hold it against you. They will. Sooner or later, when they're in a tense point, it'll come back at you. Be careful telling people. I try to tell my grandchildren this. Be very careful as you grow up. Just don't tell people, other kids, your friends, all things that are going on in your life and your family and all. It'll come back at you. But it won't come back at you with God, people. He has already forgiven. In fact, he's already cleansed. And then he says, from all sin and unrighteousness, if we say we have not sinned, I have no problems, We make him a liar because he says we all have sinned and his word is not in us. So don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to acknowledge before God. So you have to acknowledge that there is a problem. You have this baggage. Don't be afraid to do so. Don't be afraid to do so. Man up. All right, that's point one. Point one, recognize that you have these issues, this baggage. Go ahead and acknowledge it. You don't have to confess it. Acknowledge it. Omologeo, acknowledge these things. Don't try to hide them. Now let's go to point two. The first to run the race, first to love, you must get rid of this baggage. You must get this baggage off of you, out from your soul. It is so important to love as Jesus Christ loved, the new commandment. But Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 3, that we'll be studying in a few minutes, declares that in preparation for the rapture, we're to love one another. We're going to study a beautiful passage dealing with the rapture and dealing with our Christian life. We're to love one another in our lives as Christ loved us in preparation for the rapture. That's your preparation. Now, point three. You cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid to judge yourself. Examine yourself. Examine your own soul. Many people do not want to do this because they're afraid of what they'll find, what they will discover, what they will find out about themselves. They're in fear. They know it isn't all really good down there in their soul and in their life. And so they're afraid of it. This is why a lot of people will go to psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors to kind of help them do this. And what these psychologists, psychiatrists, and counselors do, that's okay. That's okay. That's not all that bad. Make them feel okay about it. See? But people, you can do this yourself. You don't need to go to a shrink and pay $60 an hour. I'll never forget when I did the SAD series, the Stress, Anxiety, Depression series. I got a call from up in the Midwest. And the lady said that she took in some notes from that series to her own psychologist that she was seeing weekly. And he said, if you did what this man is saying for you to do, you don't need me anymore. And she said, so I stopped going and I'm going to start living by faith. And boy, that was just the most wonderful news I could have heard. See, the whole series was worth it just for that. But people, you can do this yourself. You don't have to be afraid of what you might discover. God already knows. You're not going to surprise or shock God. In fact, he knew it before you were even born. He knew it before you even thought about doing those things. He knew all about you when he demonstrated his love and sent his son to die on a cross because of our sins. He already knew all these things. And you know what? It did not stop his love. Knowing those things about you did not stop his love. It may stop humans from loving you, and I won't get into whether that's right or wrong. It may stop humans from loving you, but it will not stop God. He does not stop loving you because he knows these things. He loved us before we loved him. Every one of you are loved by God, by Jesus Christ. And God's love is for your benefit. God's love is for your benefit. And that's very important. Too often people's love is for their own benefit. I love you, therefore you should do this for me. You should not be doing that. Their love is for them. Their love is to control you. That's what their love is about. I love you, therefore I control you. That's not God's love. God's love is for your benefit. And get ourselves in that love, then the better off we're going to be. Whatever has happened in your life, Whatever you have done, this does not matter to the Lord. It will not prevent him from loving you, and it will not prevent him from helping you lay it aside. You do not have to be afraid of what you might find when you start investigating even yourselves. The fourth principle. This baggage is in your soul. Also in your soul is all the help you need to lay it aside. The baggage is in your soul, the Holy Spirit's there. The baggage is in your life, the Holy Spirit's there. And to the degree that you've put yourself under the teaching of the Word of God is there, inside of you. So we have inside our soul the Holy Spirit and all His baggage. They're both inside of your soul. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as a division in the soul and spirit of both joints and marrows, and able to judge thoughts and intentions of your heart. It's all there. Everything we need. Don't be afraid of it. It's a powerful, dynamic system. It's like having a plumbing system or an electrical system in your house that takes care of itself. Any problem that might come up, it takes care of it. Any leak that might be arising, takes care of it. It knows it and takes care of it. It's inside. So every one of you have inside of you everything necessary to examine your own soul. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Word of God. Now it's up to you. And that's important. Your volition. It's up to your volition of your souls. Got into an interesting discussion this week with Judah's son. And talking about all of this. And about Calvinism, Arminianism. And neither of those were right. The Calvinists said God determines all decisions. And the Arminians say God's waiting to see what you're going to do. They're both wrong. We're biblicists. The Bible says, yes, God knows every decision, but His knowledge does not mean preordain it, predestinate it. So we have inside of us a volition. And that's a beautiful thing that goes along with the sovereignty of God. We talked about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man coexisting. And that's the grace of God that can do that. So you have the Holy Spirit and Bible doctrine. Now it's up to you and volition in your soul. This is, you have the power, Holy Spirit, and the standard, the Word of God, to evaluate yourself. You don't need a shrink. You don't need, I'm being funny here, or trying to be, but you don't need your wife to tell you all your problems, all your faults. You don't need somebody to tell you all your problems. You've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got the standard of the Word of God in you. That's all you need. And the honesty of self-examination. You have love that removes the fear of what you might discover. So it's all taken care of. You don't have to be afraid of what you might discover. You don't have to be afraid of these things. I've got the standard. I've got the power. And get rid of all these things so that you can run the race. Brings us to point five. Now, as to what you should do with what you find. What you find. You go into your own soul and your own life and you find some really ugly things. You see, counselors help people examine their own soul, their past and all. Go into their soul. Well, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the standard of the Word of God to help you do this. Now, what do you do with the baggage that you find in your soul, that you find in your life, the baggage that's in your subconscious? And you know, a lot of time baggage is put there when we're young. We hide it. We don't acknowledge it. We don't deal with it. We just push it down, way down. But it's still there. And at the right time in your life, it'll crop its ugly head and cause you more trouble. So what the Holy Spirit allows us to do, go even into our subconscious. With the Holy Spirit and doctrine, You don't have to fear. You can now, in the leading of the Holy Spirit, under the love of Christ, do something that all counselors, psychologists, and all cannot do. What are you going to do with the baggage? What are you going to do with it? You don't deny it. You don't suppress it. You acknowledge it. Now, what do? You give it to Him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your cares, anxieties, troubles upon Him. Why? Why cast all your cares, anxieties in your soul, in your life upon Him? Because He cares for you. That's a powerful phrase. He cares for you. What's some of the most astounding lessons you've learned in the Bible? God loves me. God cares for me. What more do I need to know? Those are powerful. That is unbelievable. He cares for you. I'm going to show you two beautiful words that on exactly what you should do with the baggage. Now, here in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast. Cast. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, lay aside. Hebrews 12, 1, lay aside. It's a compound verb. Put or set away. Plus the prefix, apo, away from you. It's a beautiful word. Away from you. Lay or set something away from you. The baggage that is encumbrance to you. You take your baggage in your soul, in your life, and you simply lay it away from you. It is no longer yours. You set it aside. Now, here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, we have the word cast. Same concept. Lay aside, cast. Now, the word cast is a compound, another compound verb, and it really means to throw. Slam it. Throw in a manner suited to each special situation. Throw it away. Don't hit people. Don't leave God. Throw away the encumbrance that tangles your life up. Cast it. Throw it aside. To throw in a manner suited to each circumstance. It's plus a prefix, epi, upon. To throw upon. Now, where are you going to throw your baggage in the 1 Peter passage? Where are you going to throw it? Upon Him. Upon Jesus Christ. Throw your baggage on the Lord. Not on your husband, not on your wife, not on your children, not the bartender, but to the Lord. People, you throw it on people, they can't do anything about it. They may hurt with you. They may even encourage your problem. There's nothing they can really do. Not even a psychologist. You lay aside your baggage. You throw your baggage on someone who can do something about it. Got a car. Has a problem. You tell your husband, you tell your wife, you tell your children, you tell your neighbor, tell people at work. Nothing can do anything. Not a one of them can do anything. They're not mechanics. You just complain to everybody except the one place. You got to tell the mechanic. You tell the mechanic, oh, I can tell you what to do then. Tell you what to do. I used to love to listen to the two brothers on Car Talk. They were hilarious. They were great. And I'm sorry that one of them's dead. And I've been told they both were believers in Christ. I don't know that. But they were just a hoot to listen to. And they would deal with various problems over the phone. And then what I thought was really cool, they had stumped them. And so they would pick out somebody that they told them what to do. And at random, they would call them. And say, you know, were we right or wrong? And sometimes, no, you didn't hit it. Most of the time, yep, you hit it right on. But you got to go to someone who cares. And someone who can do something about it, not just who cares. You ever heard of doctors? You know, he just doesn't seem like he cares. I want a doctor who'll sit down and care. Dr. House doesn't care about me. See? I don't like Dr. House. He's rude, crude, and no bedside manners or anything else. But he gets the job done. See? People, we want somebody that cares about us, but often they can't help. They can't help. So you go to somebody who cares about you and can do something about it. So, here we're dealing with casting it, throwing it on him. Why upon him? Because he cares for you and he can do something about it. You throw your baggage on someone who can do something about them. You throw your baggage on someone who cares about you, loves you, who desires for you to throw that baggage on him and get on with the race that you're in with him. See? So you can move on in relationship with him. It's intruding on your relationship with him. People, Jesus Christ did not stop being our Savior once we believed in him as Savior. He is still your Savior and he's still your friend. He still will deliver you. That's why I often say, the gospel is for unbelievers. The gospel is for believers. How to be filled with the Spirit. How to live the Christian life. By grace through faith. So the gospel is for both. So he didn't stop being our Savior when we at the cross. He is our Savior in our lives. You don't need to be ashamed. You don't need to be afraid of what you will find in your soul. But you do have to acknowledge it. You have to get it out there and throw it on him. And you do have to put it away. And where are you going to throw it? Throw it on him. Throw it on him. He'll take care of you. First, get the baggage off you. Get the baggage out of your soul. Lay it aside. Second, on him. Off you, on him. Off you, on him. That's the life we live, with baggage in our soul. Don't ever be ashamed of it. He knew about it before you were even born. He still loves you. So get it off you, on him. Third, he cares. Fourth, he can do something about it. It's not just enough that he cares. As I pointed out, your husband, your wife, people may love you and care, but they can't do anything about it. They don't know a thing about a car. They love you and they care. They can't do anything about it. They might come by and pick you up. They can't do anything about your problem. You want to go to somebody who can. So Christ both cares for you and can do something about it. Now, one more place. Let's look at Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Now, we're in the middle class, but we're family here. Donald, I'm glad to see you. How you doing? All the procedures over? Did all turn out okay? Good. Very good. All right, Psalm 55. Let's drop down to verse 22. Uh-oh. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He can do something about it. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. This is powerful. There you have it. Again, get rid of this baggage in your soul, and you are free to run the race. You're free to love as Christ loved, which is going to be very important in our next study. You want to be getting ready for the rapture? Let me tell you how. Love as Christ loved. I'll show you that in a text. So, you get rid of the baggage, you're able to do this. You want to lay this aside so you can get on with what's important in life. Getting ready for the rapture. Whenever it occurs, it's imminent. It could occur today. So, we want to be able to do it. Run the race. Love as Christ loves you. Learn more and more scripture. Learn more and more about him. Now the Hebrew in Psalm 55:22 is in the hip field stem. Now, I know you don't know what that is, most of you, but the hip field is a causative stem. It means to be caused to throw or fling. It has the same idea as it did in 1 Peter. It means to throw or fling. Same principle as in 1 Peter 5. Cast your burden upon Jehovah. The same person as in 1 Peter 5. Now it says your burden. And I like the Hebrew here. It refers to your burden, your baggage. And the thing about the Hebrew word, that's peculiar to you. That's more implied in the Hebrew than in the Greek. That's peculiar to you. Many things happen to children they did not ask for. In fact, horrible things happen in infancy and childhood in this darkened society we are becoming in America. It isn't that it has not been going on forever, but it's abundantly occurring in America now as we become more and more darker. Now, so they've had these horrible things happen to them in their childhood. I know this is going to sound cold, but let me finish it. This is their lot in life. It's unfair and it's cruel. It's their lot in life. They didn't make any decisions to bring it on. It's their lot in life. It's where they are. This is what happens in Satan's world. And in a darkened America, becomes more of this, becomes more prevalent. And this can be expected from Satan and demons and from people and with darkened souls in the world that we live in. But God. There's the kicker. But God. God has a solution even for the child who has been abused sexually, verbally, physically, as a child. And for every child, for every adult. Whatever is peculiar to you. And yes, it is peculiar to you. Yours is peculiar to you. Mine's peculiar to me. And some are more drastic, we can say, but mine are still there. Mine are real to me. So those things we all have. And we're not all going to sit around in a circle and talk about how horrible these things were as we were growing up. We're going to sit around and talk about the greatness of our God and what He has provided to take care of these things. So God has a solution for every child, every adult, every young person. God has a solution. People, what's your view of God? God does not want that child, that adult, to be miserable. And God has so designed our souls that they do not have to grow up and be miserable all their life. Now, they can use that all their life. Well, I was abused as a child, and therefore my whole life is rotten. And that's why everything bad thing happens to me, and on and on and on. That can happen. You can do that. It's a good cop-out. It's a good excuse. See? If you want to use it as that. Real case. Two men go into the doctor. Both of them lost their hands at work. They wanted their hands at work. One man, totally wiped out. Life is over for him. He thinks of all the things he cannot do that he could do if he had that hand. The other man, well, now how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do, doc? How are we going to get this taken care of and move on? See, people, you can use the baggage as a handicap. Instead of taking it off and putting it on the Lord, you turn it into a wheelchair. You turn it into a walking chair. Turn it into a walking cane. And use it as a crutch all your life. God doesn't want you to do that. God has such a system lined up for your soul and the damage that comes to us from child abuse and child hurt. And this is real in our society today. This is a real problem in our society today. I have to deal with these things. So we have to say, what kind of God do we have? Do we have a God? There's nothing He can do about that? Well, that happened to the little girl. That happened to the little boy. And da-da-da-da. And that's just it. No, people. That's not our God. Our God has so designed our souls with the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word, to take all of that out of the soul and give them a wonderful life with Him, with others. What's your view of God? This is a very, we've come to where we come face to face with our view of God. Is God so inept, so little, that there's nothing He can do about this? Oh, He cares that they're miserable, but there's nothing He can do. Is that your view of God? No, He cares that they're miserable. He cares that they're scarred in their soul, in their life, and He's got it all fixed up where He can do things about it. He has a cure. He can do something about it. See? And He is able and will do it. They have to make a decision. And we all have to make that decision to turn to Him. We all have to make the decision to put the baggage on Him. Okay, this is what happened to me. And I'm throwing it on You. And as far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'm not going to talk about it. Not going to deal with it anymore. It's over. I've turned it over to You, Father. It's now Your problem. And I'm moving on in the love of Your Son. I'm moving on in the love of Your Spirit. I'm moving on in the power of Your Word in my soul. Okay? What kind of God do You have? All this baggage is real that we've been talking about. And a lot of times, most of us have picked it up ourselves. But there are those, they didn't pick it up. It was cast upon them as children, infants even. And so, is our God unable, inept to do anything about it? No. Our God is more than able. So God does not want them to be miserable. God does not want them to not be able to receive His love and to experience His love. He doesn't want that. God has a plan where they can recover, where they can receive His love and have that love as an impact in their life. God is bigger than all these horrible, unfair things that Satan unloads on people in the world. By God's grace, mercy, compassion, desire, and love, He has a response. He has a solution. A real, powerful solution for all of them. That's our God. So we have to ask yourself, what is your view of God? Is God just handicapped? If a child, an infant, is molested and hurt, and the baggage that is built up, and there's nothing God can do about it, well, I'm sorry you're miserable, but, you know, that's the way it happens. No, people, our God is big. He has designed a plan and a way for the most darkened things that can happen in someone's life. He can take care of it. But you've got to learn to cast yourself on Him, cast your cares on Him, cast your problems on Him. And as in we have in Psalm 55:22, throw it on Him. Throw it on Him. Many people blame themselves for their lot in life. Maybe they've made some bad decisions. And if you want to sit down and mope about it, yeah, you made some bad decisions. Okay, let's get over it now. Let's get up and move on. Throw it on the Lord. Let's move on. But some people, they just get so involved in it. And it's their fault. And then they start going, well, it's not really my fault. They blame somebody else. I blame the person that molested me. I'll blame the person that did this. I'll blame the person that did that. Find somebody else to blame. I'll blame my husband. I'll blame my wife. I'll blame the children. I'll blame the dog. I'm going to find somebody to blame. Because that takes it off of me. People, you don't want to play the blame game. You don't want to do that. The blame game is started in Genesis. See? God, you know that woman You gave me? You gave me? She gave me of the forbidden fruit. Well, woman, well, yeah, that serpent, that pet You gave me? That wonderful pet that could speak to me? It's Your fault. You gave Him to me. People, the blame game's not new. We've been trying the blame game since the beginning. Man up. Don't be afraid. As I said, this is where 1 John 1:9 is important. From 1 John 1:8. Don't be in denial. Acknowledge. Don't confess. Acknowledge. Hey, this is real. This is baggage. that I've accumulated in my life. Now, what am I going to do with it? Cast all your cares on Him. Throw it on Him. Sling it on Him. If that person has the desire, he can cast all his burdens from his soul on the Lord. And when you do this, when you cast your baggage on the Lord, look what happens. Psalm 55:22. Look what happens. He will sustain you. What's your view of God? He will sustain you. In Peter, He cares for you. Here, He will sustain you. Both of them are important. But again, I want to just repeat, because someone cares for you, that's not really all that's necessary. That's why you don't go to just people that will sympathize with you. You want to go to somebody who can do something about it. Take that car to the mechanic. Take that sickness to a doctor. Yeah, everybody will be sympathetic with you, but they can't help you. They're not mechanics. They're not doctors. So you take your problems to the Lord, who both cares about you and can do something about it. He will sustain you. Now here's someone who loves you, someone who cares about you, and someone who knows what you need. Exactly what you need. Isn't it great to have a doctor that knows exactly? Not try, well, we'll try this. Well, that sounds good. Oh, well, that didn't work. Well, we'll try this. Well, that doesn't sound any better. See? Do this. Take this. See? That's the whole issue. Well, the Lord knows exactly what we need. And motivated by divine love, provides all that is necessary so that you can live His wonderful plan for your life. And people, again, get what your view of God. He has a plan for everyone. That child that was molested, that adult that was hurt, whether it was their fault or not, does that end God's plan? No. Don't ever have that view of God. It doesn't end His plan. God has a plan for everyone. Well, you're marred. I can't use you. You're out. No, that's not God. He has a way of recovering and knows what you need, motivated by His love, and He knows what is necessary, and you can live in His wonderful life for you so that you can run the race, so that you're able to know His love and to imitate His love and to love as He loved, which is going to be so important in the next hour in preparation for the rapture. But we'll see that in a few minutes. Okay. First of all, He will sustain you. Now, one of the fears of bringing up baggage and consciously face it is the fear of what will happen to me. One reason a lot of people, mostly men, but a lot of people don't want to get down that baggage. They don't want to admit what's going on inside of them and what's going to happen to me. If I reveal how horrible I am, she isn't going to love me anymore. He isn't going to love me anymore. People, don't do that to God. Don't put the weakness of man on the glory of God. When you cast your baggage on the Lord, first of all, it does not surprise Him. It does not shock Him. That's why He sent His Son to the cross. He will sustain. He will give you support for your soul. People with baggage and problems in their soul often lean on people. They desire support from people. But I remind you, cursed is man who trusteth in man. Cursed is man. Doesn't say cursed is man who loves man. Cursed is man who trusts in man. Don't go to man for the solutions to the problems of your life. Go to the Lord. He loves you and He can do something about it. We can find support from the Lord who is in you. Secondly, He will give you relief. When you cast these things on the Lord, He will give you relief from them. He will give you relief. Third, He will supply you with substance that you need for nourishment. He'll supply what you need for substance for nourishment. When you acknowledge these things, when you acknowledge them, instead of 1 John 1:8 being in denial, When you acknowledge these things, bring them to consciousness and acknowledge them to yourself. It doesn't say acknowledge to God. It says acknowledge. Don't have 1 John 1, 8-9 say what's not there. Just acknowledge them. Don't deny them. Acknowledge them. Then you bring that consciousness before the Lord. You cast it on Him to nourish you, refresh you, give you healthy nourishment. What's the healthy nourishment? Filling of the Spirit? The Word of God. And He will eventually bring into your peripheral Spirit-filled believers who will encourage you in life. We'll study that in the next hour. This is very important in life. Spirit-filled believers to encourage one another. Oh, I'm spiritually self-sustaining. I don't need anybody. That's not in the Word of God. That nonsense is not in the Word of God. Even Paul needed encouragement. We all need it. So he will bring, if you're in the plan of God, he will bring people around you that will encourage you, sustain you, not judge you, not malign you, and not tell everybody else what they know about you. They will love you. They will encourage you. So God has His whole wonderful plan all worked out. He has it all worked out. And thirdly, He'll supply you with nourishment, that which will sustain you. He gives nourishment from His Holy Spirit, who is in you. He gives you nourishment from His Word, which is in you if you sit and grow in the teaching of the Word of God. By the Holy Spirit in you, and by His own presence in you, and by the Word in you, people, you have everything necessary. You've got a team working on you with all your baggage that you just laid aside to get you on in life. There's a whole team set up by God to get us on in life, to carry us through life. And it is just amazing how rare teaching of the Word of God is in our society. Talking to a friend in his rather large Baptist church. They got a new pastor and he's not doing a job. And so what they're doing in their Sunday school class, they're watching films. And the films are the prosperity gospel to make them feel good. It's just amazing what's happening in churches. Hospitals where people go for their soul. And they're not being taken care of. People, God has a team. Teaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in you, the power of the Word of God, and Jesus Christ Himself present in you. Fourth, this Hebrew word refers to something else that is necessary as we judge ourselves and lay our baggage upon Him. He sustains you. Psalm 55:22, He sustains you. This word means to contain. This is very important in loving, in living the Christian life. This means that by Jesus Christ being in you, He holds you in stability. He maintains you. We'll see this in our study in the next hour. See, what we're seeing is these things are all through the Word of God. They're not just in Psalm 55, verse 5. They're all through the Word of God. They all deal with the same thing. We have a task that needs to be done, but we have to live our life. We have a job that needs to be done, a race that needs to be run, a glorification that needs to be done. But doggone it, Father, I got a lot of baggage that I'm toting along from life. And it's difficult to run this race. No problem. I got that taken care of. I've already supplied you with the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, with my Son in you, by the presence of the Spirit. Got it all taken care of. We just need to lean on Him. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning as we continue in our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, what we've learned about this morning is You. We learned what kind of God You are. We've learned how awesome You are, how big You are. That You're bigger than all of our problems. That You're bigger than the most horrible things that happen to our young children. You're bigger than things that happen in our own lives. You're bigger than our sins, our failures. And Father, we just praise you for the God you are. Pray, Father, you'll take the things we've seen this morning. First of all, have them settle in our soul and then become a reality in our lives, that we may run the race that is set before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.